I'm Ben Pugh, and you're listening to Impact, Parenting with Perspective, episode 192. This podcast is all about helping parents manage the mental and emotional drama that comes with parenting teens, so they can focus on what's most important, building rock-solid relationships and having a powerful impact on their teen's life. Join me each week as I dive into real tools to help you and your team turn struggles into strengths. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Today, we have a special guest, and I really wish I could take credit for how this worked out. I guess I kind of can because we were supposed to have this guest a month ago, but I forgot that I was going to the Dominican Republic, and so I had to cancel, and then this just lined up perfectly. The previous 2 weeks, we've talked about how to help my teen who hates school, and guys, you're so lucky you get to listen to a real-life mom who had a teen who hated school, and they came up with a fantastic alternative. So without any further ado, Ashley, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Would you mind just briefly introducing yourself? So mostly moms listen to my podcast. There's a few dads out there. Hi, dads. But mostly moms, and you're a mom. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll dive into this episode.
Okay. Well, I have 6 kids. My oldest turns 18 in just a couple of weeks, and then my baby's 5. And I have a bachelor's degree in human development. And this weekend, my husband said, yeah, but when we talk about it, I'm pretty sure that he said, I always think of you as having a PhD in child development, because it's, you've gone through all of the effort to learn how to figure out parenting for these outside the box kids. So my oldest, he suffered a traumatic brain injury in 8th grade. Things were never the same in school after that. He had always been in the gifted program before, and that really set him back. Then the next year, he had a low-level suicide attempt, had an inpatient hospital stay and outpatient treatment. And really, from the time of his traumatic brain injury, he never earned any credits for school after that. So I guess you could say he has an 8th grade education, but he is thriving and he's doing great. So proud of him.
Describe thriving. Because some teens, if I were to ask them, hey, what would thriving mean for you? They'd be like, dude, sitting in my parents' basement playing video games all day, and my mom periodically brings me down McDonald's. That's what a lot of teens think thriving is.
No, he is very confident. He's very happy. He's motivated and ambitious with his own goals. It's not what I dictate for him. He is actively pursuing the things that matter to him. He's working out at the gym most nights, and he's figuring out how to really up-level his strength. And he's working full-time and looking forward to the next step and talking to all the right people to figure out how to make the next step in his career, I guess you'd call it. He feels good about himself, and he has healthy relationships with his friends, with me. And it's been a noticeable change. I think that when family members, extended family, heard that he was not going to be returning to school for his junior year, I think they were all scared for us.
Yeah.
Oh boy, what does this mean? And I think they also assumed that I had big feelings about it. Yeah. But I really processed my own grief, my own expectations. And so when he decided to not go back for his junior year, I was happy to go withdraw him formally from the school. And, you know, the secretaries all gave me this look like, oh, he's dropping out. But I guess because of all the work I've gone through to have a healthy perspective on him, on his schooling, I didn't feel like they should feel bad for me or should feel like my son had failed. I felt like it was a proactive choice. Yeah. And now here we are, I guess, 8 months later, and all of the extended family have said, wow, there's just been such a change in him. He just seems so happy and he seems so much more confident. Yeah. And so it's fantastic. I'm really genuinely proud of him. And when somebody asks me, like we went out to dinner on Saturday night and saw some people that I haven't seen in a few years, and they asked for the update and said, oh yeah, Spencer's working full time. He loves it. He's doing great. And they were like, so did he graduate early? And I said, no, he decided to stop attending school and to pursue this other path. And I think it's can be kind of a conversation killer, but I've noticed that my own tone makes all the difference in whether they're willing to explore it or just, yeah. Okay, what about your next kid? You know what I mean?
So I would imagine, like, when you can say that with like a sense of pride, like, no, like school wasn't working for him and he decided he was tired of wasting his time and he went, like, that's the thing from working with him. When I saw the shift was when he no longer had to pretend that he wanted to fit into that box that,
right,
you go to school, you do well at school, then you go do more school, you do well at that, and then you can be successful. And he's like, but why can't I just do what I want to do now?
Well, and I think it's more than just doing what you want to do, because what he wanted to do was productive. He was still learning. He was engaged. It wasn't like what he wanted to do was sleep all day.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have gotten behind that. But even though he didn't have a firm plan when we withdrew him for what he was going to do, he had a longer term vision. It wasn't like, I want to do nothing. It was like, I want to learn these things that feel relevant to me. I want to pursue things. And he truly, since his brain injury, he learns in a different way. He used to be able to read. He would read hundreds of pages a night, every night. And now reading a page of text, he'll have to read it a few times. And it just doesn't process the same way. But if he is watching a video of somebody taking apart a transmission, he's got it. He watches it. He internalizes it, and then he goes out in the garage and he does it. So I think there are different ways that he's choosing to learn.
Yeah, I love that. And for a little bit of backstory, like, by the way, one of the best compliments you've ever given me, gosh, I can't speak English today. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you even remember saying this, but you told me once that I saved you guys like $40,000 because you were going to send him to wilderness.
Yep. Yeah. He was enrolled. He was registered to start on a Monday. And I think we talked to you on a Friday.
Yeah.
And you're like, just give me 2 weeks. Just let's try this. Yeah.
The funny thing is, so in my old business with my business partners, it's not a thing anymore, but Spencer was in our membership and I had met with him a couple of times. And then I saw that you guys had canceled. And I was like, Ashley, I need to talk to you because I feel like I saw this kid for who he is and I know I can help him. And so I talked you out of canceling and then I got you to work with me one-on-one. Here's the thing though, with all of his success and with him thriving, I will stand by this. I think you are the one that did the most growing and that had to change. And when you, I don't know, when you started making that shift is when I think Spencer started making that shift and believing in himself.
Yeah, I think once I think once I let go of my expectations of what his life would look like, what my kid's life would look like, and started to trust him to figure out what was best for himself, things changed a lot. And I noticed our relationship changed in massive ways. And I think a lot of it is just that I wasn't pretending to respect him. I was really respecting him. And if I needed him to take out the trash and he was doing something on the computer, it was me saying, hey, when you finish that project, would you mind taking out the trash? Instead of, I need you to do it now. Stop what you're doing, because what I want is more important than what you're doing. And I think that was the beginning of a change in our relationship when I started seeing that what mattered to him mattered.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to do things my way in order for him to lead an incredible life.
Yeah. If you don't mind, would you be willing to share what are some of the expectations that you had to let go of, and what are some of the hardest ones to let go? Like, maybe do you have any that are still rearing their head and you're like,
Yeah, I mean, some of the early ones were definitely school, feeling like here's a kid whose IQ is off the charts. Literally, like he is top 2% in IQ. And so it was hard for me to think that if he's this bright, then it's a waste for him to not finish high school, get a full ride scholarship, graduate from college, pursue higher education, because I felt like he had so much potential. And that was kind of the thought in my head was he has so much potential. And so I had to let go of the idea that potential needed to be used in a certain way.
Yeah.
And that was a big one. Another one is that, and I think this is true for probably a lot of parents, I had ideas about how he would participate in our faith and church, and he's not. He hasn't been participating with us for about a year now. I had to let go of the idea that he would follow the same path that my husband and I followed, because this has worked for us. This has brought us happiness. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it must be the best thing for him too. But we had some really healing conversations around that. And again, it was that relationship that we had built allowed him to say things like, hey, just because I don't want to go to your church doesn't mean that I don't, that I think it's bad, or that I think it's, I don't remember what he said, but one of the things he said in that conversation was, look, I'm going to still be a good guy. I'm not going to jump off the deep end and do a whole bunch of bad stuff. I'm still going to be a decent guy. And I still want to be part of the family, regardless of whether or not I participate in church with you. And the fact that my 16-year-old was able to have that clarity was really awesome. And that it allowed me to see that what he was choosing wasn't out of rebellion or disdain for me. It was actually coming from within him. And again, like when people ask about it, I don't have any problem saying, oh, he's attending this other church, or he's no longer interested in our faith or whatever. And of course there are hard moments, but again, like he respects what's important to me and doesn't mock or resist what's important to me, and I respect what's important to him. Another thing I had to let go of, we worked with this one a lot, Ben. I had ideas that he should contribute in specific ways around the house. Like he should be cooking a meal for the family once a week. I want him to learn those skills. It would be helpful. He needs to clean his bedroom and bathroom every week to our standard. And at one point you encouraged me to think about maybe he's going to come up with a different way to go about this. And sure enough, he doesn't like cleaning his bathroom. He's over it. And he's decided to pay Dad $50 a week to clean his bathroom. And that's how much he hates cleaning the bathroom. And the other day he came to me and he said, hey, how much do professional cleaners charge to do a bathroom? And I said, it probably, they're going to have a house call minimum. Probably they're not going to do anything for under $100. He's like, shoot, because I just realized I am paying $2,500 a year for Dad to clean the bathroom.
He could probably pay one of his siblings way less than that.
Exactly. And I said, you know what? Our next door neighbor has a cleaner every week. Why don't you call them and see if they'll just piggyback and come to your bathroom at the same time they're doing the neighbor's house. And so, but he's still, the bathroom's getting clean, and he is accomplishing that in a way that feels better to him. He would rather work hard at his job and not have to clean the bathroom, rather pay. And things like, well, he really was very opposed to cooking a meal for the family. And I dug my heels in and we didn't get anywhere. I don't think he ever cooked a meal for the family. But we discovered I hate driving. Hate dropping kids off and picking them up. He loves driving. And so he can run some of the evening carpools, get his sisters to their activities, and then that frees me up to cook the dinner. So I feel like we've been able to just negotiate things in a healthier way that we both feel good about. The jobs are getting done, and he is contributing, but just not in the way that I originally thought he should.
Yeah. I love this whole thing. And to go back, like when you were talking about his potential and his IQ, I fall into this trap all the time. Like I'm really good with teens. Like I can talk to any teen. When I come across a teen who's like 6'2", 6'3", and they're like wide and built, I'm like, do you play football?
Why are you playing football?
Yeah. And I have teens that are like, I hate football. I tried it because I was, and I'm like, but you have so much potential. Like you should be playing football.
Right.
And the thing is, a lot of times we do that same thing as parents. We see the potential and it happens to be something so completely out of alignment with who our teen is and who they want to be. And I actually feel like our generation is kind of suffering, like we're paying the cost of following our potential rather than following our passion. And I was just reading an article the other day. Adult men are committing suicide at an alarming rate. And as we ask, like, what's going on? Men not only are hating their jobs, but they have a really, really low sense of fulfillment. And even doctors, like, they'll ask them, like, why did you become a doctor? And they're like, because I was so smart. Because
I had
all this potential. They don't even like helping people. They're just trying to fill their potential.
Well, it reminds me, have you read the book Grit, Angela Duckworth?
If I haven't read it, I know enough people who have read it that have talked about it that I feel like maybe I've read it.
So I just read it recently, and she talks about grit being when your passion aligns with what you're pursuing, and that allows you to stick it out when things are hard, to persevere when things aren't working out, when it's really difficult. And I think that that's kind of what we're talking about here. I mean, for me, I know what my passions are, and one of them is children. So whether that's foster care or preschool or raising my own kids or the academic, I'm willing to put in a whole lot when it comes to nurturing children. And Spencer is crazy about engines, mechanics. So it's dirt bikes, it's cars, it's motorcycles, whatever it is. And he is willing to work through issues and problems that most people would say, this dirt bike belongs in the junkyard.
Yeah.
And he can take a bike that he buys for $300 and end up selling it for $2,500 because his passion is aligned with his persistence. And so regardless of potential in terms of, you know, raw material, I think the true potential is probably when their passion is part of it.
Yeah. Which, do you remember when he first withdrew from school and like you guys had hired me to kind of help him through this? Like,
That was when he was just doing like halftime.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He was registered as a homeschool student and attending school on A days and doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Homeschool with Ben and Mom on B days.
And we were kind of focusing on an entrepreneurial alternative to high school. Like, I seriously think a lot of our kids that hate school, we could be teaching them lessons that are actually meaningful to them through entrepreneurship. But like the YouTube channel and the beats that he is working on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the answer. You didn't have the answer. And here's the thing. Spencer didn't have the answer. He didn't know what he wanted to do. He just knew he didn't want to do school. But as I watched, like, he kind of went through this process of figuring out what he didn't want to do. And when he, like, when he was working with me, he is at like this shoe place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when he went and started working at the dealership, like, all of a sudden, that was his thing. Like, that's, he had found it. And I remember talking to him like, are you sure this is the thing? And he's like, yeah, like selling me on it. I think as parents, if we can question our own beliefs. Oh my goodness. Look at that. You guys don't know this. I just got a glimpse of who we're talking about. Speak of the devil and he'll, I can't remember, but the thing is, when we can give our teens a chance to really explore what it is that they might want to do, they'll probably go through a handful of things that they don't want to do. And that's okay. For some reason, as parents, we think, well, if you're not going to do school, like, you need to pick something and you need to hit it out of the park and it needs to be perfect. And the thing, so if you're listening to this and you have a teen who just is not interested in school, I want you to shift your attention, shift your focus off of your teen, bring it back into you, and start questioning, what are your beliefs about school and what alternative beliefs could be true? So Ashley, I'd like to invite you, like, what are some of the beliefs about school that you had to question, and what alternative beliefs have proven to be true, you guys?
Well, I think the main belief is you really can't succeed in society without that baseline high school education.
Yeah.
That is the common denominator. And if you don't finish high school, then you're going to not be able to provide for yourself. But that hasn't been the case at all. I think Spencer's absolutely shown me that I don't worry about him for a moment being able to provide for himself, and not just provide, you know, $12 an hour, but I have full confidence that he is going to make a lot of money, that he is going to have great relationships with the people he works with, that he's going to really meet some needs in his work, and that we've talked a little bit about, like, at some point he may decide that a GED is going to be helpful to whatever next step in his career. And I know that if that becomes important to him or necessary for his next career move, he can figure that out. That's no problem. That's a very manageable issue for him to figure out on his own. And I don't know about school. That's probably my main thing.
And
I'm not going to say blanket statement, I don't think school matters, because it does still matter to me. But I think I finally allowed myself to see that there are individual differences, and that something that is working really, really well for my two daughters, they love school. They love the structure. They love the competitive nature of, you know, doing their best. They love the grades. They love it. And they're thriving in that setting.
Yeah.
And so it's not that there's something wrong with school. It's just seeing that there isn't one right path that works for everyone.
Yeah. That's good that you said that. I actually reminded myself to say that at the beginning of the podcast and I forgot. So thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a little extreme on the other end.
I do.
I mean, I wouldn't trade my college education for anything. Even though I have never worked full time, and I really, for the last 18 years, I have not been employed. I have not been earning any money. And yet I feel like my college education is one of the most valuable experiences of my life.
Yeah.
So, but there are individual differences.
Yeah. So let me defend myself. I'm not that extreme. Like, all my kids are in public education. I would say part of the reason I am a little extreme is because everyone's that extreme when it comes to school. Like, no, school is the only way. If you don't do well in school, how are you going to do well in life? And I feel like I naturally kind of raised to that level of extreme nature,
yeah,
in opposition. And no one questions the school. Like, if your principal's like, hey, your kid is failing, and if they fail in school, they're going to fail in life. Like, no one's questioning the principal. It's just kind of a believed truth. And so I feel like part of my job is to help people question those beliefs and to be heard, I guess sometimes I am a little extreme. Guys, and I hated school when I was in school. I hated school when I was a principal. That's why I'm like, guys, how do we make this fun? How do we make this meaningful? And I just, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I was, oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I guess I feel like it's a little outdated. I would be all for school if people would like hire me to come and help them fix their schools and make them fun and exciting, then I could get behind schools. But go ahead, Ashley.
So I was having a conversation yesterday with my 15-year-old. He's a freshman and he doesn't like school. He struggles. So yesterday I was saying, hey, have you looked into the, we have a tech program, I guess, like a almost like a trade school for high school. So have you looked into that? And he's like, no. I'm not doing that. And I said, well, do you know what they offer? And he's like, I already know that stuff. I said, well, they offer things like collision repair, diesel mechanics, engineering, all these things, construction. And first he was like, well, I already know that stuff. And I said, well, it's just an option. It's an option that would allow you to get high school credits, but learning things that feel more relevant and interesting to you. And he's like, oh yeah, actually like diesel mechanics, that would be useful for what I want to do in my life. And so I think that there are lots of different avenues, and even if the road that the kids decide to take doesn't pan out, that doesn't mean it was the wrong thing. Yeah. And it doesn't mean it, like, there's always an opportunity to change directions, to try something different. There, you don't have to be so committed to one idea that if it doesn't turn out, that's the end of the road. There's always another opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. When did that conversation with him happen? Because
before he talked to you.
Okay. Because yeah, I love what he told me yesterday. Like he's got a plan, like what he wants to do. And I'm like, well, that sounds exciting.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I would call him outside the box, but in a completely different way from his older brother.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried. I'm not worried about them because they're going to, if I let them have the opportunities to make their own decisions and to be responsible for those decisions, let them have ownership, I guess is what I'm saying, they'll figure it out. And we don't have to know when he's 15 what he's going to be doing when he's 30.
Yeah. And I love that you're talking about this, giving them responsibility and ownership. I'm on this kick. Like, we need to empower our teens. And I feel like we've done a lot to disempower them by telling them, no, this is the way, this is what you have to do. And just simple conversations, you can start empowering your teen by helping them explore, what do I like? What am I interested in? What direction do I want to take my life? So, and allowing our teens to be responsible for the results or the consequences mm-hmm. that they've created.
Yeah.
That's empowering. And your oldest is the example. Like, there's going to be some costs for not having a high school diploma. He's responsible for those. But guess what? Right. He is reaping some massive rewards right now. He's also responsible for creating that. And when we help our teens be responsible for them and their lives, that is empowering. So
it takes a lot of that burden off of our shoulders as parents to be more of a consultant role than a micromanager.
Yes.
Like it allows us to have the conversations, to explore you know, what the possible outcomes would be, but without that pit in our stomach of like, I've got to help him see it my way. He's got to come, you know, it becomes a real conversation rather than a manipulative way of bringing the kid around to your own ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I love that. So you were in my membership. I've worked with you and your kids one-on-one. If someone was thinking, so my membership is only for parents. If someone were thinking like, man, maybe I should go work on me instead of trying to change my teen, what words would you have to say about that?
Well, I think that when we change ourselves, it changes everything.
Yeah.
The way we talk to ourselves, our thoughts, the way we talk to our kids, it changes the dynamic of the relationship as well as the child's self-talk. And ultimately, I can say that things have, to this point, are going so well with Spencer. I'm so happy with the direction that his life is going and the choices he's making. But even if he were involved in things that I disagreed with or making decisions that I thought were disastrous, if I'm able to manage my own thoughts, my own emotions, then it becomes a tolerable, not even tolerable, it becomes a peaceful experience, because it's like you're always talking about it, but I'm managing what's in my control. And as long as I'm doing that well, there's not the angst and the fear about the things that are outside of my control.
Yeah. Awesome. If a mom listening to this is like, oh, my teen hates school, where should I start? What would you tell her?
I'd probably say find what is fascinating to him and support those endeavors. Like, yeah. Do I love that my garage is a mess and there's oil spilled all over and I can't walk in there because I'm tripping? It's not my favorite, but I love what my boys are learning and that they're taking ownership of gaining knowledge and skills. And so, yeah, I would say let them follow those passions, but follow them further, not just play around, but
commit to it a little bit.
Commit to it, delve in a little deeper,
yeah.
finish it all the way. And I don't know.
Ultimately,
I would just say it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. However this school thing works out.
Yeah, I love that. As you were talking about like the mechanical parts and stuff in your garage, I was thinking, yeah, but some parents are thinking, my kid just likes to play video games. Let your kid try and be a professional YouTuber. Let them see how much work that is.
Or let him learn about coding or building apps, or find avenues that will align with their interests and passions that are also going to build their confidence and their skills.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, man, this has been a really good episode. A couple of things, if I were to highlight them, Ashley, when you talked about letting go of expectations and your relationship improved, that's one of the most important things that I watched you do that really changed everything. Guys, your relationship with your teen is so vitally important. Your teen doesn't know this and they won't admit to that, but they want to belong. They want to be accepted. And so seeing you do that was huge. And like you said, just connecting with them on things that they think are important. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Spencer has flipped dirt bikes. I think you talked about that, like buying one for like $250 and selling it for $2,500. He's also flipped a car. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, he bought a car. I think he owned it 3 weeks and he made $700 on it.
These are not skills that are being taught in school right now.
And they're not skills that I have or that I could teach him.
Yeah.
And so because he's had to learn it himself, I think it's more important to him. I think he's more sure of himself. Like, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, he started flipping like fish tank supplies and reptiles and bike parts. And I mean, he has been doing this thing where he buys and sells for probably 5 years. And he told me recently that he has never lost money on a single one. He has made a profit every time. And I'm thinking, the things I sell secondhand, like, I lose money every single time. Like,
please, just come get it out of my home.
Right. But he knows how to get this done and to market things because it's important to him.
Yeah.
He's learned it.
Oh, so good. Okay. I could do a marathon podcast. I don't know if you could. I don't know if our listeners could. So we should probably.
Yeah. We can wrap it up.
Any last words that you'd like to share with us?
It's all going to turn out. Kids are awesome.
Awesome. I love that. Here's the thing I would say. If your teen hates school, you don't have to do it alone. I would love to help you come get inside the membership. That's a good place for you to start as a parent. And Ashley is a prime example of this. We could have gone on for hours with other examples from her life, but when she changed, everything around her started to change. And if your teen just really hates high school and you're like, oh, there's got to be something else, email me. You can email me, ben@benpewcoaching.com, and I'd be happy to set up a time where I can meet with you and your teen, and I'll help you come up with an alternative that works for both of you. And other than that, go join my membership and come be one of the impactful parents that, like, we have a group of moms and a couple dads that come occasionally. So anyways, with that, Ashley, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah. And everyone else, tune in next week. I don't know what we'll be talking about, but it's going to be amazing. See you soon. Did you know that parents and teens all over the world are struggling? I believe that the most important thing that you can do in your teen's life is simply being an impactful parent, which means taking the time to understand what parenting traps are holding you back, and then taking that knowledge and using it to completely uplevel your parenting. This is why I've created a brand new quiz to help you better understand your own parenting traps. This quiz will help you pull back the curtain on your own parenting and gain some powerful insights so you can stop getting caught in the same old parent traps. This quiz will help you start being the parent of your dreams so you can finally create an impactful relationship with your teen. This quiz will take you less than 2 or 3 minutes, and it is completely free. If you want to take this quiz and better understand the traps that are keeping you stuck as a parent, go to benpewcoaching.com/parent-trap-quiz and get an insight into what is holding you back as a parent so you can completely uplevel your parenting. I'll see you soon.